Welcome to the whitest house. Slave souls haunt the halls when the light is out. Except the blood of your power and the wicked mouth. The last gasp of a world that is dying out. Welcome to the whitest house, where every room is a tomb that they lie about. Where you can put your filthy feet on the finest couch, and for the right amount, you can even buy it out.
That's the essence of your entire political identity. You might be a white supremacist.
What's today?
I don't even know what my sunglasses are. Oh well, rocking with prescription shades. I don't know, see, these are prescription. You can see watch out like one of my, is that perfect? Oh, I do need prescription shades. Yeah, brother, the whole world opens up. I was just having this conversation last night about how bad I need prescription shades. Type shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yo, this is a life change.
Okay, I definitely cannot see up close with this one.
Oh, yeah, all right. Well, we tried. How much do you love me?
I love you a bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck.
Oh, so if you want to turn around, look at that laptop there.
Oh, wow, there we go. Can't start the show without your shade.
Are those the Burberry?
Nah, these are the Gucci.
Gucci, something Prada. Basic bitches wear that shit, so I don't even bother.
I'm not a basic bitch. But...
Oh, my bad.
Oh, okay. Was that the beginning of the bullying? You was right.
Oh, I don't know. I think no. I think she was just singing the song. I don't think she was singing the song.
Okay.
Am I a basic bitch, Miracle?
Of course not.
I thought I was a light skinned baddie.
Would you rather be basic or acidic?
Toxic, nigga. Come on. You forget who you're talking to?
That was a given.
You forget who you're talking to?
I have high hopes for y'all. Every
listen,
day.
I wake up every morning and choose toxicity.
Okay. Violence.
Violence.
So you got that PhD?
Come on.
Oh.
Come on. Come on, Trevor. Come on.
Here we go.
Trevor is the new... He's the new king of innuendos. You know what I'm saying?
Woo!
You're the king of it. Well, welcome. Obviously, we're here, right? Another week of This Week in White Supremacy. I'm Jasiri X. I'm co-founder and CEO of One Hood Media. And to my immediate right, caffeinated and ready to fight, huh?
I tried peace and it didn't work. Because sometimes violence is the answer.
Here, come here.
Back like I never left.
The Queen Cersei of This Week in White.
No, because she's doing too much. I can be Dothraki.
got you.
What was it when she burned the people down? What did she say?
Jacaris?
Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, okay. Jacaris.
Cersei was wild.
She chose violence. You know what I'm saying?
And family, so I was
Yeah, violence and family.
We had a Game of Thrones discussion before.
Yeah, we did. We definitely did. My brother.
It's your boy, Treble NLS. Never like supremacy.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Nature loves shy.
Absolutely.
Just here for the vibes.
Here for the vibes, man. And to, you got your glasses now. We're ready to begin.
Yeah, right?
Fully into your...
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Supreme, Asiatic, intelligent, divine.
Yeah, come on, man. You know?
Flavor. All right.
I got my vicious vision back. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know.
Let's get it.
All right, so are you going to introduce yourself? Or?
Yeah, man. You know, the supreme, Asiatic, intelligently divine.
Okay.
You know? The Canadian crippler. I don't know if I can say that one.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit was kind of wild.
Nah, he definitely
he's a wild
was a horrible,
man, a horrible person. Great wrestler, horrible person. But Jesus Christ, man. We're here. It's lightly melanated, hella black.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah, come on.
So
why are you looking at me like that?
Oh,
like what? I wasn't even looking at you.
I see your eyes through your shades. I see the real you.
So Miracle, you brought this up. I mean, I think this is a good place
to
begin.
To start with my bullying? Yes.
Let's start with the bullying since we were talking about it right before we got on. So apparently, in hip hop news and rap news, right?
Rap beef.
Rap industry news. There was a signing that was a lot of people were talking about because Capitol Records signed the first rapper that was created entirely from artificial intelligence.
This is just astonishing to me.
This rapper's name is FN Mecca.
Fucking Mecca.
Right?
That's what Fox News says every time a Muslim does something. Fucking Mecca.
Anti-black and Islamophobic.
Oh, come on, man.
Hey, it's not me. This is Fox News.
I guess FN Mecca has 10 million TikTok followers. FN Mecca is an entirely digital artificial rapper. FN Mecca was created by a white guy.
Weren't all rappers created by white guys?
No, hip hop was not, brother. The origin of hip hop, you know, Kool Herc, shout out to him. We were there, brother. We were in Sedgwick.
Yeah, we were.
The origins of hip hop was black, brown. I mean, there were white folks there. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying. I don't see how this is any different though than.
Well, let's talk about
today.
It, right? So Anthony Martin. Well, I think the difference is there is a difference, and Miracle pointed out the difference is that this, and I don't know if you. Have the clip of the rapper rapping. Is this is a digital rapper, an artificial intelligent rapper?
What nigga? You know we talking, so we don't.
No, that's what he said. He said, "I don't see no nigga." So this is an artificial rapper, right? A fake rapper created by a white guy who's saying nigga. So you know people were
you mean
saying
hip hop today.
Well, I think it's different.
How is this? And no, it's not different.
No, it's not different.
One, he looks like a black man with tattoos.
Yes, yes.
So this is the ultimate digital blackface.
100%. Yes, I agree.
But if you listen to it, he sounds like Stitch 9. And the reason I say that is when that man was running around making a mockery of hip hop, saying nigga, y'all all let him do that. Y'all all let him make a mockery of hip hop. Put black people in these white supremacist incarceration institutions. Yep. And now you're seeing that everybody else is about to profit and do the same thing. This is digital blackface. This is a disgrace. But because y'all do not gatekeep hip hop the way you should, now you've lost it to something that doesn't even exist.
No, and it's 100% wild because it's also not only is it digital blackface and not only is it, you know, like white, it's like, white people's gonna find a way. You know how like in Jurassic Park, how
nature finds a way.
Nature, white people gonna find a way to say nigga, huh? Oh, we can't say. I'm going to create a digital black man to call you nigga in your face. I mean, that to me, one, that's kind of wild. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, it's also like Miracle said, like you're using our culture. You know what I'm saying? You're using our sound. You know, they're producers that created this type of sound. You're using, you know, the lyricism and the slang that we create, right? And it's like, before, at least you had to, one of us was going to get paid, right? At least some black person somewhere was going to make some money out of this, right? As even being the face, right? Now, you can argue that white people behind the scenes made more money. You know, I always talk about Lucian Grange.
I was just about to say, how is this any different than Doug or Lucian or Leor or Tommy Mottola or Jimmy Iovine?
The difference is, okay, so let's, for instance, if you look and say, like, okay, you have, whether you have a Drake or Kendrick on Universal Records, right?
Right.
They're real human being, they're real people. They can evolve. They can grow. Somebody like Kendrick has put out songs that have been amazing and have caused people to think of the world and look at the world differently. And also, you can create like some of these rappers where you look at like a Rick Ross have created like generational wealth for their families based off of the music that they created, right? So I think that's the difference. The difference is like, you know, at some point, right, whether it's Kanye, whether it's, you know, all of these rappers, like they still have agency as black people to speak on certain particular issues. Some choose not to, some do, right? But a digital person, this is like Miracle said, this digital blackface. This person has no agency. Like, is FN Mecca going to? I mean, he's going to say whatever these white creators tell him to say.
What you're saying is that they found a way to remove the proxy from the rap game.
Right. They found a way to remove the actual person.
Yes.
And so, and it's like, it's not like FN Mecca can't. It's not like his contract can stop. They created him.
I get it. The problem with that, this is what I'm saying. The problem with that, though, is this is what's happening now. Like, you get people to say whatever you want when you give them money. It's not different.
I would argue that it is different because
they literally just remove one step. That's it. They
no,
just
the
remove
black, the blackness is the biggest step that they remove.
100%.
But I mean,
there's
but
no black person involved in this process. And here's the thing. Let's say
you've had a whole bunch of ethnically ambiguous rappers over the last 10 years.
Y'all didn't do the same shit. Which is what I told
you. Well, really, I mean, really, 6ix9ine, outside of 6ix9ine, who else are you talking about? Like
Lil Pump, Lil Skies.
Oh, I mean, but they're
Doja,
not.
I mean, Doja Cat's black. Her dad's from South Africa.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, they're not. They haven't really moved the needle. It's not like they're selling out arenas. It's
but
not
y'all
like,
let
no.
them be in hip hop.
True,
though.
True.
That's the problem. Did we do? Is the slippery
I mean,
well,
I, mean yeah. I never had a problem with Fat Joe. I never had
enough.
A problem with Big Pun.
And well, now look what happened. Just joking.
We didn't bully
but
him enough.
What my issue is that there are no black people involved in this process. For
100%, yes.
Lil Wayne can sit there and say, like, I don't support Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. So,
but he can still go and support black people,
true.
Black neighborhoods.
Yes.
Bring other black artists into the fray. This is what's missing, and it's a complete erasure.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't think it's anything new.
I don't think it's anything new, but I think this is something that's going to be different.
No, it's new. It's new because I think like you have somebody like, for instance, we've seen like a Jay-Z, a Diddy, like we've seen like. Like a human being can evolve, right? We've seen Jay-Z go from somebody that was a hustler all about money to actually producing conscious material, right?
Right.
To actually putting stuff in the atmosphere, doing things, you know, in the social justice space and arena. Same with a Beyonce, same with like a Diddy. Like we've seen like a human being can evolve and grow, right? And grow in ownership. We see a lot of masters like buying their rappers buying their masters back. Like you see that. And so like this is like, this is music and our culture with, like, no black agency whatsoever. None. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like whatever this white guy programs this thing to do or say, that's what it does. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, and so that's why the conversation came up.
That's how all record labels work.
What, no, because you still, as an artist, have some agency. Like, you still can say, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that.
You can say that, but whether they actually let you get away with it is a different story.
But I'm saying, and you still like you still have the opportunity to evolve, right? You still can go from like a 50 Cent where you come out and you strictly shoot them up, bang, bang, to now you're one of the biggest producers of black television, you know, in the country. Like you still like you still
can
evolve.
And sue to get a different contract.
I hear you.
My problem with this also is there is, as blackness has become more culturally capitalistic,
yes.
There is this idea that people do not want to be associated with black people.
Yes.
And we've seen this digital blackface kind of basically explode. There was a guy, another white man, who created a black model who was taking on ads and getting contracts because people would rather deal with a fake black person than an actual black person.
1,000%.
And
right.
We're not seeing this in country. We're not seeing this in rock. We're not seeing this in, you know, opera.
No.
It continues to be these black forms of art that we're really watching people digitize. And it's another form of erasure. It's another form of, to me, imperialism and colonialization because yes. It's like, I want to have fun with my friends, but I don't want to see dark-skinned people around.
And I'm not,
makes me angry. And yes, it's a newer form. It's like how we don't associate black people with jazz or rock and roll.
Right,
because we've taken them away from the culture. And so this is, to me, is another step of really watching in real time how hip-hop is being stolen from
us. We just had the thing go viral of the guy, like Elvis got his voice from.
And this, where I was about to go. That's exactly where I was about to go. The reason I say this is nothing new is because there's always been industry plants. There's always been something that has a white alternative to it. You had it with Third Bass. You had it with Vanilla Ice. You had it with Elvis. So you had it with, you know, the Rolling Stones. You had it with the Beatles.
This,
you had it with.
But this isn't. The difference is this. Is this isn't. This is like.
Man, like how many black people really running record labels? You've gone into record labels.
Wait, hold on.
Your A&Rs are white. The label head is white. The street team is white. The digital marketers are white.
I'm not disagreeing with you, and I do want to bring you in trouble. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying, but at like there was still like the opportunity for accountability to a real person, right? Mm-hmm. Folks like like approached Kanye. Remember when Kanye tried to say, remember when Kanye tried to say, like, slavery's a choice?
Yes.
My man dug in his ass, you know what I'm saying? Whoever the
boss, 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 boss,
we haven't heard.
The guy
from, don't need to say pause no more.
Whoever the black guy from TMZ was, he held Kanye so hard accountable that Kanye actually went back, deleted his whole album, and, like, made another album. You know what I'm saying? Like so as a human being, like, we can still roll up on you. Cats rolled up on, you know, 6ix9ine. You know what I'm saying? 6ix9ine, like, you know, he's gone now, kind of. You know what I'm saying? Because his, you know, once that fake image was shattered.
That was more so about the snitching shit than
of course,
else.
Right. But I'm saying, like, but you still could, like, you know, I mean, he was shot at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, and not to say you should do that, but I do want to read this piece from this article.
It says,
on,
I don't see no niggas like him playing hockey.
No, and I want to pass it to you. It says, in a climate where black creators are airing out their grievances with social media platforms for going unrecognized and uncompensated for the works and trends they create, right? It was this whole conversation around black creators who was making content for Triller. Triller said they were going to pay them, and they weren't getting paid. Right now, we see Timberland and Swiss Beats suing Triller. Again, you take black content, you don't want to pay us. It says, then they create this AI-powered rapper. Is that good for hip-hop? Music artists have also been under fire as of late for their lyrics, both in the courtroom and online. So why should a racially ambiguous virtual personality be allowed to say nigga and promote gun violence so freely? So he can say nigga, he can promote gun, like, there's no Rico for effing Mecca. No, you can't run up on effing Mecca and punch. He's digital. You know what I'm saying? Now, Anthony Martini, I guess that's, is it Martini? Oh, shit. I mean, I guess folks can step in, but then what does he look like? We don't even see him because he's behind the scenes of, like, this digital blackface character. So I think that's the difference between. So I want to come to you, Trouble, and then I'll come back to Farouk because you look like you got a lot bubbling. Who knew we would do the whole show?
So oddly enough, I see this as an opportunity.
We are gonna create our digital,
not even
to go get it.
I see this as an opportunity to hold the industry accountable for what they've been pushing for years now.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Now it's not coming from a direct person, so you can't say that they're complicit in the process. Now you're seeing that this machine that they've created around hip hop music is now being digitized and marketed as exactly what they want it to be.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of going touching. Okay, you, like, synthesize both points in a very cool way.
I'm not saying this isn't problematic.
Yeah.
But it's not anything that hasn't been problematic. Like, you niggas wanted NFTs. You niggas wanted cryptocurrency. You wanted all this shit.
You didn't want any of that?
No, I didn't want it because you can't touch it. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, you cut the power grid, all that shit go out. But, like, this is what this is. It's the NFT you niggas paid for. It's the art curated shit that you wanted online every day. This is it. I'm not saying it's problematic or not problematic.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is this is nothing new. They just removed the proxy. That's it. Like, they found a way to be like, you know what? We can do this shit
without you niggas.
More cost efficient. You wanted hip hop to be a capitalistic thing. You wanted hip hop to make money. You wanted, this is no different than getting federal holidays off of Juneteenth.
I agree, because you think about all the rappers who are in jail right now. You never
record labels lose money on that shit.
Correct. So now you never have to worry about taking insurance off for your rappers.
True. Never.
What's going to happen now? We're going to have to hire scammers and people to, like, steal and hack effing Mecca?
Yes.
Like, you don't have to worry
about
that.
You're going to have to get Morpheus on that nigga. That's the only person that's going to stop him.
Right? You don't have to worry about a Young Thug sitting down, losing your money, canceling your festival shows.
That's all I'm saying.
I get it, right? But my problem is it's not widespread. It's not in other music genres. There's nothing about that $10 million that's being invested back in.
Nothing.
And I agree with you. I agree with you 1,000%. I'm not in it. I'm not opposed to
we hear.
Yeah, we hear.
Because hip-hop is the most cultural but also philanthropic genre
on 1,000%
the planet. So 100%. People like to talk about like the violence, but they forget to talk about the back to school programs. Yep.
How many people hip hop's employed?
The buying of homes for communities, the investment in communities that hip hop artists do. It's like if you don't give back to your hood, you can't go anywhere.
Can't come back.
You know, and so to me, we're really watching the erasure of our culture, but that's also even more racist because, like, we take STEM out of black and brown neighborhoods.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
We don't have a pipeline of black people to create this data and to do it themselves. And that's also, like, another thing of heartbreak because this man is able to create this because of white supremacy
100%.
That has invested him and bolstered him up. And we don't have that in our communities. And it's just like, damn. Like, you really can't win on so many different levels.
And you make a great point, Miracle, about because, you know, there was this there has been in hip hop over the last maybe month a conversation about a hip hop union. I saw like Chuck D, Karis One, Bun B, who'll be here Thursday being involved in that. And like
nice
but
plug. Nice
but
plug.
Like you said, like who is the gatekeepers of hip hop? Because it should be like we should have some facility in place. They'd be able to say, like, no, we're not collectively not going to allow this man to create some digital black rapper to say nigga and to do all of this wild shit and make money and then just run away to his white world. Although you're using the culture that we created, like you said, that people died and went to jail for. Like, people died, went to jail for cultivating this type of music, protecting this type of music, you know what I'm saying? Wanting to invest this type of music or the proceeds of this music in our community. People are in jail right now for that. And so, like, you can just, like, take a facsimile of a Young Thug, a facsimile of a Gunner, put it in some digital way, and nah, man, like, we should have something in place to be able to say, nah, we're not having that.
And while I agree with you, I'm not disagreeing with any of you. All I'm saying is, one, again, I'll repeat myself. They remove the proxy, right? Capitalism the shit, right? Two, this is what you get. This is the byproduct of having hip-hop as a billion-dollar entity. You open it up for this shit. Just like that nigga, what was his name, that bought all the raised the price of the medicine, that bought the Wu-Tang album?
Scarelli.
That's what you get. Like, that's the other side of the coin no one wants to talk about. Yeah, that's capitalism. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is nothing that hasn't happened in any capitalistic endeavor.
Yeah.
And if you want to gatekeep hip-hop, then you're going to have a bunch of rappers that are just rapping for the sport and being poor. So the gene pool gets thinned out. And the reason you don't have a gatekeep is because a lot of old niggas are so connected to the culture, because Melly Mel was shitting on every rapper that came after him. Melly Mel was one of the worst. That he was like, yo, if it does sound like, hey, hip hop, you don't stop, then it was whack to him.
But that's
niggas who couldn't evolve with the culture.
But that's different than
it's the same, because it's different. Old niggas was the reason all these young niggas didn't want nothing to do with them.
I don't think you can make it that black and white. You know what I'm saying? Because there were, again, we have Bun B coming this Thursday, right? Bun B was somebody that was a more mature rapper that embraced the younger artists.
But for every Bun B, there was a whole bunch that.
But still, that doesn't give carte blanche for people to kind of come and begin to pimp the culture. That doesn't give carte blanche for that. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's not, that happens, and that's happened in our community. That happens on many levels in our community.
Right.
But that still doesn't justify, like, the white supremacy that exists, like Miracle said, that inherently exists when you see, like you're going to take, like...
There's
like,
no you, conscientious decision under capitalism.
But what I, 100%. But even if you look at FN Mecca, like, the style of clothes and shoes, like, all that's us. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'll give you an example. The guy who, and shout out, because remember when the dude, what was it? Millie Rock. Remember the dude did Millie Rock?
Mm-hmm.
And like.
He had that out for like years.
And then, what was the game? Fortnite.
Yeah.
Took the Millie Rock, or they took these dances. I mean, it was another dance too they took. And like, those creators got nothing.
Nothing.
You know what I'm saying? So now, my man who made the Gritty, like, he signed a deal. He actually was able to license his dance.
Right.
And so now it's going to be in the new Madden, But they licensed that. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that was so again, this was black creators and black people saying, like, nah, we didn't like what happened. Like, we're not gonna let you just take our shit and make money off of it. Nah, man. And so like, to me, I don't know if it's a lawsuit. Miracle, you wanna represent us? One Hood Media, as we see, let's go after him.
I feel like he's, and if it's like fucking Mecca, like,
yes,
that is very Islamophobic as well.
100%.
And we gotta talk about that. But, you know, I just, you know, I'm not a capitalist.
100%.
And I just wish we could have listened to a lot of people like 5 years ago, 10 yeah. years ago. And I'm like, we shouldn't be this. No, I love, y'all know I love me Beyonce. I love her.
Yeah.
But like that whole, we got to build generational wealth through selling a part of our culture
yeah.
is.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. And yeah. we could have been changing something, but now it was here.
Like, yeah.
And I get it. People are going to make money. People are going to do what they need to do to survive. And it's just like, even a lot of people, I've noticed, I'm trying to say this without ruffling any feathers, I've noticed that the people who hold the keys to hip hop have always been fans of hip hop. Who didn't have to go through the lifestyle, who had the luxury
100%.
Of buying the tickets, who had the luxury of buying the clothes.
Didn't have to fight nobody.
And didn't have to deal with the pushback, didn't have to be 100%. Called a super predator
yeah.
or a criminal and all this. And it's always weird to be in a lot of these spaces, especially in art spaces, because we're not there either.
100%.
But it's like, for even when people were arguing about the Tupac Museum, that happened and talking about like the not all the families are there and who gets to profit off of somebody's story. Like when we die, we don't own our stuff.
I mean,
you know, think about Prince's family. They sold all his shit and he said, don't sell my shit.
Yeah, I mean, right now,
it's hard.
I mean, you have right now, I mean, Hulu's doing the Mike Tyson story and Mike Tyson is saying
he wasn't involved.
He was saying like, man, they basically just took my story and are doing a whole think about that. I mean, they just took his story and doing a whole TV show on this man. He's not profiting off it, but it does, you know, when you talk about it, reminds me of Jay-Z's line where he was like, what's better than one billionaire two?
Two.
And then everybody was like, no, brother, no billionaires are good. But I mean, so it is this space that we're in that we have to navigate. And navigate with our new Nissans, ironically. I don't know if that means anything.
With touchscreen GPS.
That brings up a question for me about, like, so how do we protect the culture? And how do we gatekeep hip-hop in a way that's constructive to the culture and to people who are practicing it?
So, I mean, I think...
We're 50 years in, bro. It's too late for that.
Yeah, well, no. I don't agree. Because I think people are... Like, people are starting to do, like I had mentioned. But
like
the
union. Yeah, like, the counter to that is FM Mecca.
Well, I will say, you know,
that's,
like,
that's the counter to that.
I'll give an example because we just had a conference come to Pittsburgh called Netroots, right? And basically.
That we sponsor.
You know, when we found out Netroots was coming to Pittsburgh, I reached out. And the reason I reached out was because I wanted to make sure the narrative was that, like, the victories that was happening politically in Pittsburgh were victories that were led by black-led organizations like ours. And I didn't want these white politicians to come in and take credit for the victories of Ed Gainey, the victory of the judges, Summers' victory. Nah. Black-led organizations on the ground helped push that. You know what I'm saying? And so we reached out. And so we were able to have that narrative be shared on a very wide level, right? That's not necessarily gatekeeping, but that's like we can step to folks, right? We can say, I mean, I'll give you another example, was when HBO and Netflix said, we're going to do the Dave Chappelle show. And he kind of put a letter out and asked people, like, don't watch this because they're not paying me anything from it. And people was like, word, we ain't gonna watch. And they renegotiated a deal with him. And so, like, I do think that there is an opportunity. And we're seeing black creators mobilize on TikTok and mobilize on all of these different platforms. So I do think, I don't want to say, you're right, Farouk. I mean, we're in year 200 whatever of capitalism, you know, running rampant and white supremacy running rampant. But I still believe there's an opportunity that when we see something like this to say, like, nah, know what I'm saying? Like, and Capitol Records, whomever, you know, we feel like this is some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And we don't want to see this continue.
And again, and this is the final thing I'm going to say on this, because we do got other things to talk about. I'm just kind of like...
We rarely get into an argument, though.
Yeah, I'm emotionally invested in this.
I like that.
Like, you think that these record labels aren't assessing probability? Like, all of these black creatives are pushing back? So fuck it. We'll create rappers. All you niggas want to do conscious music, or you want to protest your contracts? You want to say you want equal pay on TikTok?
Hey, bro.
We just take you out of the equation. Like, that's the thing. They're assessing this AI, bro. They're assessing the probability through mathematics. They're looking at it and say, this is the next step. This is brand anticipation.
I 1,000% agree with you.
Yeah, like, it's trajectory. Yes. So they're just like, you know what? Treble doesn't want to sign a contract because he says, okay, the value for my intellectual property is X. I only want to pay him. What's the letter that comes before X? Y? No. T? V? I don't know. Whatever. W. That we're only going to pay you that. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. ESL kids. Yeah, hi, I'm an ESL kid.
That's like, if I get arrested for DUI, I'm messed up.
So, so it's like, you don't want that. Mm-hmm. So fine. Instead of finding somebody who does, the technology exists for me to create it.
Look at this. This is a picture. FN Mecca, I guess this is some account.
Getting beat up by police?
Getting beat up by a police officer. Getting hit by a police officer. And the caption is, police brutality, what should I do? The guard keeps beating me with his baton because I won't snitch. I ain't no rat. Life in prison, so depression. I wish I could get out and start making music again. So, like, here you are. You're actually, like,
you're making a mockery.
Yeah, you're mocking us. You're mocking, like, real rappers that are in prison right now. But, real, like, black people that are being beat by police.
All the white creators that do, like, Grand Theft Auto.
I 1,000% had a huge issue with Grand Theft Auto, particularly San Andreas, because...
Yeah, right, yeah. I mean, it was about a black person. Yes.
Not only that, but like real gang violence.
Yeah, real gang violence shit. And it was created by all these developers in San Diego. 100%.
So speaking of, I guess we can go to black people being bought and sold. God damn.
Black people what?
Black people being bought and sold.
Are we going with the cotton, or are we going with the trees?
We're going with the kid for cash. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally,
this happened in Pennsylvania.
Like, people being like juveniles, predominantly black and brown, being bought and sold. And this was an older story.
Yeah. It was a Law and Order episode too.
It was.
Yeah.
Two former Pennsylvania judges
in Luzerne County
who orchestrated a scheme to send children to for-profit jails in exchange for kickbacks were ordered to pay more than $200 million to hundreds of people that they victimized. You know what I'm saying? It says the U.S. District Judge awarded $106 million in compensatory damages and $100 million in punitive damages to nearly 300 people in the longest-running civil suit against the judges, writing the plaintiffs are the tragic human casualties of a scandal of epic proportion. So basically what these judges did, Mark Civarella and Michael Conahan, shut down a county-run detention center and accepted $2.8 million in illegal payments from a builder and co-owner of two for-profit prison lockups. Then they actually changed the policy to zero tolerance so that it was guaranteed a large number of kids were sent to these facilities. So basically, like, they were like, hey, it was like human trafficking, right?
Yeah.
So how do you all feel about the judges? They said they ordered children as young as 8 to detention, many of them first-time offenders for very petty things, so they can get money in their pockets, having to pay $200 million. What y'all?
You literally have an amendment about this.
Facts.
You literally have this. The 13th Amendment.
True.
That's literally what it is. This is capitalism, bruv.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when I read the article, they were talking about how it's a victory for them to have sentence these judges,
right?
But what they're not going to do is take accountability for how the structure of the system is what makes shit like this possible.
Come on, 100%. I mean, well, I think that's what we see. I mean, that's how white supremacy does, right? It's like you put these judges up as like this is some anomaly, right?
Yeah.
Wow, can't believe this happened. This is so rare. When we know, like, this is what happened with mass incarceration, right? This was how it was built, right? Policies were put together where it was, like, first-time offenders. Of course, we know it was, what was it? Like, You got a 100 times greater sentence if you had crack cocaine or powder cocaine, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. You had all of these, you know, mandatory minimums. And then you had private prisons being built and put on stock exchanges, right? So just like you said, this is actually not an anomaly. This is the system at work. Unfortunately, like, most judges are able to profit. Most prisons are able to profit. And nothing, you know, the wheel keeps turning. You know what I'm saying? Lawyer Miracle, what do you think about this travesty of justice?
So I have questions.
Okay.
Who's paying the money?
Right.
Come on.
Is it the insurance company or the people individually?
Come on, Miracle.
Are they still getting a pension? Is this the final amount? And how much is it actually going to the people? Is it going to the lawyers?
Right.
Is it going to the therapists? Is it going to the people who've done all the work?
Great point.
Because a lot of times with these settlements, the money first goes to pay the lawyers and the expert testimony, and by that time, everybody gets paid.
Right.
And taxes. Well,
Yeah.
A lot of times you don't get taxes on settlements. The money's gone. The kids mm-hmm. don't get it. How many kids? How many family members? Those are the questions that I have.
What about the people who actually paid?
Yeah, because just to Miracle's point, this is the quote, which is kind of, I ain't feeling this quote at all. It's a huge victory. To have an order from a federal court that recognizes the gravity of what these judges did to these children in the midst of some of the most critical years of their childhood and development matters enormously, whether or not the money gets paid. Man, we ain't here for no.
Yes,
that's thoughts and prayers. That's thoughts and prayers.
We ain't here for no headlines.
Whether or not the money gets paid is so important because people 100%. Can appeal. And what is problematic for me is that now all of the friends and family members, community members,
right.
think these victims have millions of dollars.
That is true.
That puts them at risk again.
100%.
And because you're not talking about that they don't have this money,
right.
you're now re-victimizing them.
No, you're right.
I've read the show about the people who win the lottery. This is the thing that happens to them all the time. They get preyed on. All these people try to come out for them and steal the money, and they don't even have money.
That's why the dude that got that billion had that scream mask on. He was like, y'all ain't even going to know my name. We don't know who that person is.
And so that's very problematic. And I get it. Pennsylvania has been home of some of the most atrocious acts of judicial malfeasance.
True.
From the murdering and the killing and the taking of indigenous children to what happened to people living with disabilities at a lot of the facilities all around Pennsylvania. And so this is nothing new. And the fact that we're celebrating an order, not even actual action, it shows how the bar is literally in hell. Like the bar is in hell.
The bar is in hell. So just to touch on that, one of the judges, Civarella, is serving a 28-year prison sentence in Kentucky. He's 72 years old.
What kind of prison?
I don't know. I hope it's horrible. But probably not. It says his projected release date is 2035. And
he'll be well dead by then.
And another judge, I guess the other judge, was sentenced to more than 17 years prison, was released to home confinement in 2020 because of the corona pandemic. So one of the plaintiff's attorneys said that they have to probe the judge's assets, but did not think they had any money to pay a judgment. Man, you're going to have to come up with something. You know what I'm saying? Like something, you know what I mean?
I think it just also goes to ethics and media.
Yes.
Because that should be the first and the closing line, that these kids do not have this money.
Right.
These families do not have this money.
Ooh, right.
And people just don't understand that, and that's just once again an issue.
No, I mean, I think it's an incredible issue. Now, speaking of children that have been victims of racism right in our faces, you know what I'm saying? There was a Little League baseball game.
Man.
I guess the Little League World Series is on, or whatever the Little League, whenever the Little League is like broadcast on ESPN. And there was a team, I want to say this team is from Iowa, and the team has won. Okay, this is the Major League's Little League Classic that is played annually in Williamsport and televised by ESPN. Oh, you got the picture up there. And so it says the Iowa Little League baseball team appeared to be using pulling cotton from pieces from inside small stuffed animals and then placing them on the black player's head, covering up all of his hair. And so, I mean, the black player, I mean, he doesn't look like he's laughing. He don't look like he's having fun. The nigga look like he got a frown on his face the whole time. And so, of course, obviously, you know, there's been a whole conversation about black hair and white people wanting to touch black. It's one thing to say, like, yo, you got an afro, let me touch it. It's entirely another thing to, like, be the only black kid on a white team and have all the white kids put cotton in your hair?
And have it be on TV.
Right, and then broadcast on national TV?
This is going to stay with him for the rest of his life.
Well, so the Little League Baseball insists there was nothing racist. There's nothing racist about a group of white youth placing cotton and the only black kid on the team's hair. I mean, just to even say that, you know what I'm saying, is absolutely ridiculous. This is the quote. During the broadcast of the Major League Little League Classic, a Midwest player was shown with filling from stuffed animals given away at the game on his head. After speaking with the team as well as reviewing photos, multiple players on the Midwest region team were taking part in this while enjoying the game. Little League Baseball said in a statement, as only one player appeared on the broadcast, Little League International understands that the actions should are shown could be perceived as racially insensitive. We have spoken with the player's mother and coaches who have assured us there was no ill intent behind the actions shown during the broadcast. Like, what's mom going to say when she's the only black parent there?
Right, yeah.
And her child. Right. That's a great. I don't know if mom is black. That's a great question. Is mom even black? We don't know. You know what I'm saying? But even then, it's like you're the only black parent there. Your child is the only black child on the team. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What's she going to do? Blow up her? Yeah, that's just racist. And pull her child out of there. You know what I'm saying? So what do y'all think, man? Was it racist?
1,000%. Yes. But that's baseball.
Baseball just straight racist?
I mean they
you did play it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, when did they break the color line, quote unquote?
It was after when the Negro League started to, like, whoop the white leagues.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, baseball was built off upholding white supremacy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it is. And even to the point.
It's embedded in the rule system.
Right. Even to the point where it's not a lot of black play, like you know, United States-born black players in Major League Baseball.
That's
you know
why,
what I'm
that's
saying?
Why you got large up, man, like Kenny Lofton doing what he was trying to do with the RBI program.
Absolutely, like, absolutely. Any other comments, Treble, Miracle?
And I feel like what's even worse about this is with him being the only black player, for everyone on the team and the opposing team or in the league, period,
right,
this is normal. So they're like, oh, this isn't racist. They're
right,
just
right.
being kids. They're right. just playing around. So they think this style of joking is just okay how normalized it's been.
100%.
Where did the stuffed animals come from? Like,
they were given away as part of the game. So the stuffed animals were given away as a part of the game, so everybody had a stuffed animal.
But who taught them about cotton picking and black people for them to make that
Donald Trump?
Why is it always
I'm going to say Donald
though.
Trump.
Why is it all cotton? Like, this was last week. The cotton at the schools. Yes, like, why? Yes. Like, why, man?
Well, it's because, I mean, cotton is equal to slavery. And it's like if you want to
cotton-headed ninny mugging.
100%. Or if you want to dehumanize a black person, you were called cotton picking, right? You cotton picking, you know what I'm saying? That was to say, like, you're a slave, and, like, this is where you come up. And I think you make a great point, Treble. It, like, normalizes this. Because, like, if you put cotton in a black person's hair and you get punched in the face, like, now the black kid's wrong. Now the black kid is going before Kids for Cash, and he's getting sent to some juvenile facility, right? But it's like, that's how you learn, you know what I'm saying, that this shit ain't cool. Like,
Miracle said it before. People don't get punched in the face no more. Man.
I mean, no, that's what I'm saying. Facts. Like, you got to learn, like, you know what I'm saying? But...
Bring back bullying.
But that really is the cycle of incarceration, right? If you lash out against white supremacy,
100%.
You then get put in these state-sponsored places of terror, where then you're even more embedded with white supremacy.
Right.
And to me, there's actually a video, and the broadcasters swatch it, and because the cameraman doesn't have the intelligence to pan away, the broadcaster's like, oh, these are little leaguers being little leaguers.
Just being kids,
kids. Boys will be boys.
Yep.
Kids being kids. Like, sir, move the camera. These are just kids being kids. And you hear the panic in his own voice as he's watching what happens. So everyone is realizing that this is problematic.
100%.
But it's, once again, why is it just the black kid?
Right.
Like, why yeah. isn't, like, if it's a tradition, why isn't everybody have,
everybody know, don't have the cotton,
cotton in their hair? Yeah. You know how they throw the Gatorade on, like, yeah, the coaches? Yeah, and the yeah. people? Like, if we are doing these traditions, why is it just one person singled out?
And then it's also that thing of, like, you know, I talk, you know, about my trajectory going from the south side of Chicago to Monroeville, right? And I remember being going to Gateway and being in, like, being the only black person in a lot of these classes. And then it becomes like it's a pressure on you.
It is.
To, like, you know, and oftentimes, like, a child wants to fit in. Like, a child wants to be, like, a part of the team. So he doesn't want to, like, say, F all y'all. Like, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Look how ridiculous this is. So it's another thing of, like you said, well, that is internal. Like, you got to suck that up. You got to put that inside your body, because if you wild out, now you're not on the team. Now there's opportunities. You could have lost, you know. Your mom probably made mad, or parents made mad sacrifices to get you there. You got to think about them. And so it's a lot of that you end up internalizing just to get to a point where, like, you're, like, the acceptable person in white supremacy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it just plays out right in front of us. But to act like this is just... oh, this is just kids being... no. If every kid has some cotton in their head, we might have a conversation. Mm-hmm. But if you're only putting cotton in the black kid's hair...
right.
That's a serious issue.
My question is, like, if there weren't any stuffed animals given out, like, what else were they going to do?
They,
like,
were going to go find them a cotton field. Right,
like, were they going to put, like, were they going to, like, fashion a rope?
And, like, 100%.
You know what I mean? Or, like, if
there's watermelon juice, we can maybe spread along this child's head.
Right. And, like, but the thing is, like, what if they were giving out, like, rice bowls or something, and you had an Asian kid on the team? Would they have done that to him?
100%. Would they have, probably, had, like, more than likely, yes.
Like, hit the Spanish kid with bean burritos or something?
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, it's just like... it's,
but I'm saying, it would be the same, like, if you said that, like, it would be like that happening to an Asian kid, yeah, or like that happened to a teenage child, and then somebody coming back and saying that's not racist.
Mm. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
you're putting cotton in a black child's hair. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. And like, then, don't come on, man. We're not dumb.
And then I feel for bro, because, like, he doesn't even understand the insidious nature of white supremacy.
Did you see his face?
He might.
Like, yeah. I think he did. But, like, I think he knew what was happening.
But he does, like... I feel for bro, because he's in a position where if he speaks out, he loses the opportunity.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Kicked off the team.
Real shit. And it's like,
he's the troublemaker.
Yeah. Facts. So
look at his face right here.
Yeah. He's not. That, like, ain't funny to him.
This is not funny to him, man.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he might not have, like, the experience. To articulate, hey, I don't like this because it's white supremacist, mm-hmm. but he knows that I'm being treated other.
Yeah.
This is only happening to me because I'm black.
Yeah.
And the reason I say he probably doesn't understand the insidious nature of white supremacy culture is because he still feels this pressure to stay with it in order to keep this opportunity, and doesn't, like, I feel like no one's had the conversation with him about, like, yo, you're worth more than being treated like the other child on the baseball team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, the thing that says, like, you know, hey, man, you know, and I think that's, it's like, I don't, whatever the opportunity is, it ain't worth that.
Mm. No,
you know what I'm saying? It ain't worth being dehumanized. It ain't worth being, you know, humiliated on national TV. You know what I'm saying? And at some point, man, like, you know, like I said, like, sometimes, man, violence is the answer. Yes. You know what I'm saying? 100%. I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Speaking of that, did you see Andrew Tate got banned off Instagram and everything?
I did. Yeah. And I think, like,
white supremacy as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I just seen that because there was a weatherman whose name is Andrew Tate who was getting all this.
He was getting everybody.
Everybody was
sucks
like,
for you.
But somebody was asking. They were like, "Why does he get banned?" And I know there's a couple of differences.
Yeah.
Why does he get banned as this multicultural, biracial individual?
Right, yeah. Right.
But then all these other people. But
Joe Rogan gets a $100 million deal.
Jordan's there.
Right, Jordan Peterson. Yeah.
Oh, Jordan Peterson. Yeah, yeah. He makes me ashamed.
Yeah.
All the, what's the guys talking about? I just don't like black women.
Oh, they're terrible.
All these other podcasters get to stay on. But he, and I get One person was saying he has been convicted of apparently a sex crime before.
Who has? Andrew Tate has.
Allegedly. Oh, I'm not 100% wow. sure, okay, but somebody okay, was saying okay. he did. And another person was saying he just didn't have the intelligence to sit there and say, hypothetically, he would just be like, women should be subjected to this.
Yeah, you know, so
that people have said that those are the differences. But this idea...
Just the subtleties in language.
Subtleties in language, but this idea that, like, he's saying all of the stuff that all these other people are saying, even elected officials, and he gets banned.
Right.
Yeah.
And...
I, be honest with you, I don't think Trump, they should have banned Trump.
Trump did get banned, though. I mean, Trump got kicked off of Twitter.
But it was too late. But, like, I don't think he should have been banned in the first place.
I honestly, y'all gonna call me a fascist, and it's fine. I honestly believe people should only have, like, access to, like, the internet for, like, 4 hours a day.
Oh, that would be great.
Or, like, every other day.
I'm not upset at that.
I'm not upset at that. I feel like... Every other
we're
day.
We're not supposed to know this much. We're not supposed to see this much.
I think it's too much.
It is too much.
And I think that some people... This also sounds very bad. I think people who don't have, who don't touch grass in real life, cling to any type of validation on social media. And so,
come on.
The more outlandish, the more violent, the more racist, the more sexist things that get feedback, the more they'll put on this persona. And it's, I don't really think it's them. I don't think the blonde girl who was always fighting with Beyonce, I forgot what her name is. Lomi, Lori, Tori, whatever her name is. I don't think she was as bigoted as she was. I don't even think the Fox News hosts are as bigoted as they portray. I think they just like...
Clark Kent and Superman, that what you're saying? It's like this their persona?
I think it's their persona because they like the feedback, right?
Yeah.
All of that them have had attention. Issues.
Yeah, it cuts through the echo chamber.
With
like,
their families.
Yeah.
All of them have had issues with love and support in real life.
So they need therapy.
Racist rehab. This is how they project, because nobody who's happy in life, nobody who's just loved in life, acts like that.
Build miracle.
And that's what I've seen. Again, I'm not making excuses.
I'm happy today.
But I think shut the internet down. You know how they're talking about, like, Y2K? And it's, I was like, okay, let it happen. Like,
and that's why I think, like, this culture of exclusion that we've adopted over the years becomes a problem, right? Because you have people like, I forget her name.
Tommy Lauren.
Yeah.
Tommy Lasagna.
You know what I'm saying? Who will get on camera and say these bigoted things for that negative attention.
Yeah.
Because we live in a society where, like, once you exclude, now they're kind of forced to strengthen this identity to feel like they're part of something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To feel like they're worth or to feel like they still have value.
I mean, I think that's the whole thing around Trump, right? I mean, you know, it came out this week that, they kind of listed the charges on Trump, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What was fascinating about the criminal charges is that, you know, they really didn't have anything to do with whether or not the documents were classified or declassified, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was this whole back and forth where, I guess, since April, they were asking Trump for this information. He was saying, you know, it was his, it was executive privilege, whatever, whatever, until they finally brought the subpoena. And now Trump
State
is...
State secrets? You mean Trump secrets? You mean mine?
Now Trump is, I guess he's suing the FBI. He's suing the Department of Justice. And, like, what's fascinating, like you said, is, like, his... He always puts his followers in this position where you constantly have to, like, morph and rethink, right? First, it was, like, law and order, and, you know, we were cheering on the FBI when it was Hillary's emails. Now we hate the FBI, right? We were
That's a great point.
We didn't like Russia for a second. They were our enemy. Now we love Russia, and, you know, we don't like Ukraine. And so it's weird, like, he has to, but they always do it. Like, and no matter how ridiculous the things that Trump does, it's always... follow him. You know what I'm saying? To the point where you had followers saying, you had one guy who was running for office saying that federal agents should be shot on sight.
Listen.
You had another guy saying Merrick Garland should be executed. I mean, this is wild stuff. Mm-hmm.
Firstly, Trump with, like, these documents is like every white guy that takes a picture with his fish and puts it on a social media. He's like, hey, nuclear launch codes. Look at this. Vladimir Putin's address.
Hey,
look at this.
Hey, what do you
Chamber
think?
Of Commerce. Here's the, but also, like, it's wild to me that, and this kind of goes back to the FM Mecca thing. Like, Mayhem Mall got jail time.
Yeah.
for talking about a police officer in a record.
Yeah, mentioning his name in a record, yeah.
Donald Trump talking about a police officer, a federal agent.
Yeah, releasing their names.
Releasing their names. Nothing.
I mean, you know, there was an article, and I'll come to you, Miracle. There was an article that came out that actually said that said that, like, they copied files from the voting systems, right? Because they were trying to prove, like, election fraud.
No.
And that they gave these files, these system files, to, like, right-wing conservatives to try to, like, go out and trumpet, like, you know, Trump's, you know, the election was stolen.
Nine?
And it's like, but I'm just saying, like, Miracle, no, like, at some point, right? I mean, like, it's it's like the onion. You peel it back, and it's just it's a crime of onions, Miracle. It's like, you peel the onion back, it's more crime, another crime, another crime, another crime.
I don't know how to say no in other languages. No, here's the thing about
that. I mean, that is wild.
I said, no, nine, uncle.
Yes, it's wild. Like,
come on, yet.
Yeah.
You know, no, so here's what they did. They took those voter files. Then they went to all the black and brown folks and said, hey, you don't have to vote. Hey, melon voting is no longer legal. Rip up your ballot, register as a Republican. They did all this. They did even more than just tell people not to vote.
Yeah.
They're not going to go to the pokey. Not there.
I mean,
it would already been there.
Crazy.
I mean, this is illegal. This is conspiracy. This is all the things.
It's all the things.
And they keep saying we have all this evidence.
Yeah.
They don't want to put those people in jail. They're not going to. And they're going to be like, hey, they stole this. This is fraud. That's electioneering. That's illegal. You're interfering in an election. All these type of things. No one wants to go through this. Because here's what happens.
Yeah.
That's illegal, right?
Yeah.
You go to jail. Then you got to start to undo stuff. Then you got to pull people off the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Then you
got to
say this legislation is no longer legal.
True.
Nobody
it's like
wants
it brings the
go.
Whole system down.
Nobody mm-hmm. wants
right.
to do
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, Miracle.
Nobody
damn
wants
it.
To do Come on. It.
It's like the dominoes, right? Mm. Once Trump falls, all this other stuff got to go.
Because allegedly, you know, the guy who was screaming about liking beer, somebody paid off his debts before he
went and
testified before the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So you're going to see all this. And then what does it mean for the United States if we find out that the Russian government paid all these people to do all this stuff? So now we're basically taken over by Russia and China.
Damn.
And it's not that they have that much money. It is... When you want money and power, you're going to align yourself and do whatever.
You're right.
And that's what they did. And
you can't
be mad at it. We do this to other countries all the time.
Come on, man.
Right. And I think
Cuba, we destroy countries all the time.
Yeah,
so
the USA's policy is to destabilize.
But it goes,
fair is fair.
And it goes back to this idea of, like, if Trump goes, like, they all go, right? Including somebody like Herschel Walker, right? Mm-hmm. Herschel Walker.
Now, what you got to do with it?
Herschel Walker played football when the helmets were soft.
Shout out to the team.
His egg is scrambled.
Shout out to the team.
I can listen to this nigga, man. The helmets were squishy when this nigga played.
So Herschel Walker... I mean, you know,
can I read this, please?
I mean, we just seen this over, you know, ridiculous statement. Please read Herschel Walker's statement for us.
I gotta find it because, like, it's just okay. Herschel Walker, when talking about climate law, right, something that everybody needs to be made aware of because 100%. It's not like, you know, if anybody's having questions why it's still 70 degrees in December, because global warming is very real.
It
there
is.
Are mudslides in California, as Jack illustrated. Because we don't have any fucking trees to stop erosion, right? There are things happening. There's species becoming extinct faster than there were when those last meteor hit this planet, right? But Herschel Walker, when talking about a climate law that really needs to be upheld by the entire world, said, and I quote, "Don't we have enough trees around here?
Don't we have enough trees? I mean, look outside.
Look, go outside, nigga. You don't see them birds.
I need money for no trees.
The birds.
Don't we have enough? No, Herschel, we don't.
I mean, but again, I think it shows, and it was that guy who said it. You have the clip of Herschel, right?
Herschel Walker played football when the helmets were
No, I mean, don't you have the clip of Herschel saying There's not enough trees. We have
did
that.
You send it to me?
I did. Don't even worry about it. I mean, you know, but again, and you know, he's not going to debate Warnock because they know, right? To put Herschel Walker in front of somebody that has a shred of intelligence, I mean, it's a done deal. You know what I'm saying? So I did want to get to one more story before we close out. Because I wanted to know how you all were responding. I don't know. Do we have a book? Do we have a?
Oh man,
is there a book somewhere? Yeah, get your one of them. Or can we use one of them books? I don't know.
Can we?
I don't know. I mean,
Sue's Korean.
Yeah, it's your friend. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we rock with it.
We've done black books up before.
So there was a black firefighter. Claimed he was forced by his supervisor.
This shit is wild.
To attend a racist party.
I told y'all about this last week, and y'all were like, "What are you talking about?"
A black firefighter. Basically, he said he believed he was attending a community event, and was immediately uneasy as he arrived to the party, where he noticed a large cutout of former President Donald Trump, as well as two large Juneteenth flags. With buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Sounds like a good time to me. That sounds like a very inclusive party. That's what you wanted when you wanted Juneteenth for federal holiday, right? A KFC sponsorship? And that's what the fuck you niggas got.
When Jones
chicken,
expressed,
watermelon, and grits for everybody.
When Jones expressed concern that it was a private party, the filing noted, his captain assured him and two other colleagues that it was an outdoor event in their district, and that they wanted him and his colleagues in uniform. This is almost the same story as the black kid with cotton in his hair. You know what I'm saying? It's like, here you are. You just, again, you got a job. You know what I'm saying? You're asked to go somewhere at your job, and you walk in, and there's a Donald Trump cutout, Juneteenth flags, and fried chicken being displayed, mocking Juneteenth. And I got to stay
there. Is it mocking or celebrating? I'm asking.
I mean, hey, bro.
I'm asking.
It would be celebrating if it was like grandma's fried chicken. Mm-hmm. Kentucky Fried, come on, man. That
maybe that's the closest they can get.
No, brother. A white person made that chicken, brother.
You don't know that? I worked at KFC. That's my first real job.
Was Colonel Sanders black?
I don't know.
Well, it was his recipe, wasn't it?
Was it? I thought.
That's the white man's chicken, bro.
That's the white man's
chicken? Yes. It's Popeye's. Maybe that's why. I'm playing.
Let's get to our white pages.
But
right?
I mean, let's get to the white pages.
Today's white pages is Rap Is Risen, New York photographs from 1988 to 2008.
What a full circle moment, right?
Yeah,
from
right.
FN Mecca to actual documentation.
Yeah, actual documentation of black people creating things.
Yeah.
This is a friend of mine, Sue Kwan, who is an amazing photographer. She's taken some of the illest photos in the history of hip hop.
Yeah.
She compiled them in two books. There's a Street Level. And then this one, Rap Is Risen. We do have both.
Boom.
All
right. And right here. And, you know, it's great for me because it's a lot of pictures.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because he can't read good, but he's still
trying. I don't know speaking good like you other niggas. But, you know, this is...
It sounded racist. I don't know how
that
or why.
That did sound racist.
I mean, that just sounded racist.
That sounded very, very bad.
Yeah, so here we go. Here's some pictures, and there's little words.
Okay, yeah. Dope.
Big pictures, little words.
Big pictures, little words.
Get the book.
And then also, you know, what we got, you know, we have a big event. Again, hip-hop.
Yes.
You know, we have a hip-hop legend coming into Pittsburgh.
Bun B. The Underground King.
Yes, the Underground King.
The Underground King, man.
And restaurant tour now.
And
Trill Burgers taking over.
I hope
he's also an
author.
Author, yeah. He's a teacher. He taught at Rice University.
Yep.
I mean, the brother is just a renaissance man.
He is a renaissance nigga.
Absolutely. Shout out to Bun B. So Bun B will be here. We still have a few. The tickets are getting smaller and smaller. We still have a few tickets available because it's an intimate conversation. You know, this is a smaller room.
That sounds fancy.
Yes, yes. It's a small room. And so
I should wear a monocle to that.
If you have one, you're going to wear one of them ascots. You know what I'm saying?
I'll wear an ascot, bro. You know, a monocle and a cape.
If that's what you want to do. So, you know, if you can make it, come on out. You know what I'm saying? It'll be Thursday, 7 p.m. If you go all of our One Hood Media socials, you can see the link. Get your tickets today. Anything else happening? Oh, and then Saturday. Friday, we're back. Friday's on deck. Friday, you know, weather permitting, we're always in Liberty Green Park.
Yep.
We have food trucks. We have cookies from Crumble Cookie. Shout out to them. They lace us every week.
Yes,
we have activities.
Do.
We got roller skating. We did kickball last week. You know what I'm saying? Everything was dope. So see us Fridays on deck. That's Friday, Liberty Green Park from 7 to 9. Just pull up. And then on Saturday, we'll be back at
Social Status. Be social for people, politics, and power.
Yes.
We're going to have giveaways. We're going to have food. We're going to have music. We're going to have vibes. We're going to have Nissans. We're going to have jerk chicken and plantains and lemon cake.
Yes.
Beef patties.
Beef patties. Come on,
right,
bro.
All of that, man. Come on. Pull up. Come register to vote. Talk to us about the election. Midterms are coming up.
Yes.
We're going to be even more busy. So there's going to be a lot of imperative information just about everything that's going to be happening that's important in the city of Pittsburgh, in the state of Pennsylvania. And then after that, you get to go home.
And so that's People Power and Politics. That's 12 to 4 at Be Social, Social Stats, and East Liberty. And one final thing we definitely want to say, rest in power.
Rest in power. Oh, man, come on.
To our brother Bat.
To
our
man. You know what I'm saying? We're going to miss you, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, he was our barber. He ran Best Barbershop in East Liberty, but just so much more than a barber. I mean, he was a mentor,
man.
A friend, you know, a confidant.
A legend. He was a legend, man.
He was a legend in East Liberty, holding it down for the few remaining black people in East Liberty. You know
and
what
even
saying?
The fewer black businesses.
Absolutely.
On
so
Penn Avenue. So
his
let's get a moment silent for Bats.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're going to miss you, bruv.
Yes, his viewing is Friday evening, and then his funeral is Saturday at 11 a.m. Again, details on One Hood Media. So rest in power to him. May God be pleased with him and give comfort and guidance to his family and loved ones. With that being said, we will see y'all next week. This week's White Supremacy, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
One Hood.
Welcome to the whitest house. Slave souls haunt the halls when the light is out. They suck the blood of the poor and the wicked mouth. The last gasp of a world that is dying out. Welcome to the whitest house, where every room is a tomb that they lie about. Where you can put your filthy feet on the finest couch, and for the right amount, you can even buy it out.
That's the essence of your entire political identity. You might be a white supremacist.